cord.
On the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death, I've decided to finally learn my lesson. I'm going to stop hating on superstars in their prime because they win so much. I did this with Jordan. I did this with Kobe. I will not do this anymore with LeBron James and Tom Brady. It's a privilege to watch premier superstars at their peak, and who am I to hate on excellence? Let's appreciate these guys while they're around and celebrate them while they're here.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Well, you've set the record straight, Dan Hill.
You've
laid down the law. You've let the world know that you are going to love everybody.
Not everyone. Not if you suck.
What?
Don't come at me if you suck.
Says
you know?
The guy whose favorite basketball player's last name is Bertrands. Get out of here. Get out of here.
No, man, like, I just feel like we as human beings or sports fans, like, I was doing some soul searching about, like, man, you know, like, you spent a lot of time hating on Michael Jordan while he was just, like, awesome.
And, who, like, does?
I did. I do. And like, I spent a lot of time in college, like, just really trying to, like, push LeBron down and not, like, and I was like, oh, LeBron sucks. He's not better than Jordan. And I used to hate on Tom Brady all the time, too. And I used to hate on the San Antonio Spurs. And I started to think, I started to put it all together recently that, like, dude, I'm just jealous of those guys. They win a lot. And that's why they get hate. That's not cool. They're awesome. Like, I used to spend way too much time just being like, these guys suck, fuck them, and root for the other team. They're just good. I'm celebrating good. If you're good, I want to see it. I want to watch it. I'm a fan of it. You know?
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying, and I completely agree. I completely agree with celebrating good. But at the same time, the degrees of good have to be weighed, Dan Hill. The degrees of good have to be weighed. It's the what you're doing equating to worth my time. Okay, I'm going to put it in that ballgame. I like sports. You like sports. But in the whole big scheme of things, if I'm somebody that's strange, I've never seen sports, and I come into this place and it's like, so you're crying because a team that you support, that you don't step on the field with and play, won a championship. You're
right.
Crying about that. So let's celebrate it in moderation. Let's celebrate it the way it should be celebrated. Let's celebrate Tom Brady throwing 3 interceptions in the third quarter of Sunday's game. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate greatness. Let's celebrate the fact that Aaron Rodgers couldn't convert. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate greatness, because honestly, let's celebrate greatness where it needs to be celebrated. Like some guy that understands how an atom expands or contracts or whatever. Somebody that does something, there is celebration needed there. Discovery.
I get a sense you're being a little cynical about
the greatest
quarterback of all time.
Shut up, man. I don't want to hear this about Tom Brady. I don't care about Tom Brady. You want to know why?
Because
it doesn't
The guy
matter.
Wins. He
Good
just
for
wins.
Him. He wins at what?
At sports.
Yeah, that's it. He's been divorced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he did marry up, I suppose.
The man just wins. And I think there's a lot of people out there that have like jumped this ship of like, I'm a fan of a different team and hate Tom Brady.
Yeah.
To now they're just like on a team called I Hate Tom Brady.
I hate Tom Brady. I will say that. I don't like Tom Brady. Hey, I respect this game with football, but on a personal level, I don't know who he is. I mean, celebrate a stranger. Okay, whatever, Tom Brady.
But like, ask yourself, why do you hate him? What is it that you hate about him?
Oh, his face. His face.
You hate his face?
Yeah. Yeah, it's too pretty. It needs to be punched in a little bit.
So that's drop of jealousy. You want to look as good as Tom.
Of course. And I mean, I don't like where he stands politically. He's an idiot.
Okay. That's valid.
I mean, you know, great on the field. That's fantastic. But I don't care. Like, the thing is, too, I love LeBron James, right? Love LeBron James. Love LeBron since LeBron was a rookie. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, I'm connected to him. He's my age and all of that stuff. So,
you like him cause he's your age.
I like him cause he's my age. That's all it takes. That's my bar. But no, I mean, I like LeBron because everybody doubted him and he went in, and in a lot of ways he was the prodigy that showed that he deserved the prodigy.
Yes.
Yeah. He deserved the title. Tom's story's great in that he was a nobody, but he still went to a Division I school. He still went to a Big Ten top school. It was part of a successful program and still made it to the NFL and succeeded in the NFL.
I feel like LeBron is a little easier to hate because of how he was sort of, delivered to the NBA. Like he is sort of like born with a silver spoon of like, This kid is the greatest and will be the greatest.
LeBron James was not delivered with a silver spoon. LeBron James was raised by a single mom. His dad was never there.
Of course. I'm not saying his life personally. I'm saying the package of LeBron going to the NBA, skipping college, he was delivered to us as like already this is the prodigy.
I think that's fair. This is
new Jordan. So everyone out the gate was like, man, fuck that kid. He's not the new Jordan. he's got to work on it. And then no one believed. So that was super easy to hate.
Yeah. I mean, he put in the work, and you're right. There are decisions he's made in his career that people don't appreciate, but these people are also people, so they make bad decisions all the time.
Right.
But when it's all said and done, again, like, what success have they had? They've made money because they're really good at a sport, but like, have they changed people's lives? No.
Oh, LeBron.
LeBron, yes, because he's
considerably
he's specifically focused on changing people's lives because he's where he has come from. I imagine Tom Brady's done the same thing, like using your success to empower others and improve the lives of others. I think is a good thing, and that's I think that's actually something we should celebrate more than a championship.
Sure.
Because there's more value to that.
I just think that Tom Brady is someone who...
You want to kiss.
I want to kiss.
You want to kiss.
And I want to look... Like, that is a person that I have no problem with, like, my children looking up to, you know? He doesn't get into trouble. He is good at his craft. And he is... the longevity of his career...
Sure.
Is like...
Yeah.
That's what I would want for my kids. Yeah, okay. Tom, like, get it. You want to work hard? Work as hard as Tom Brady and do it for as long as he's done it?
More power to you, kid. More power to you, kid.
Done hating. Done okay. hating.
Well, no more hating. Let's have people not hate.
Right. Well, don't hate on people because they're good. Hate on whatever you want, but like the fact that the person or team is good is no longer valid.
What do you mean?
Like the Yankees. Like there's people who just hate the Yankees.
Yeah, they're called the City of Boston.
But it's just because they've been good for so long.
Boston's been good, but they still hate each other.
But there's this, I guess, like people, and then there's always these people like, I want someone new to win. I'm sick of them winning. It's like, nah, they're good. Let them win. If they're good, let them win. Let them keep winning.
Nah, I get it. I get what you're saying. And I think that's a, you know, valid point, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just let's love each other. Well, Dan, what do you say, man?
What do you say, man?
I mean, I don't know.
We got stay at home, getting lifted in California. I mean, I'm still not going anywhere. Not really doing much.
You're not?
I had a problem day with Walmart. You want to hear about that?
Oh, my GERD. Sure, man. Let's hear about it. I want to hear about it. What happened?
Okay. Well, first of all, I go in there during the day because I needed to pick up bottled water for the office for work. And okay. I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone. You know, I'm there.
Yes.
I'll get these work things, and then I know I got to pick up a couple of these shirts.
Shirts? Did you say shirts?
Yeah. They're
okay.
At Walmart, there's this brand called George. They're like generic shirts.
Oh, yeah. I know George.
George. The George line, let me tell you guys, it's incredible. Okay? You discredit Walmart because it's Walmart. I get it. But these shirts are comfortable. They're stretchy.
Yeah.
They fit me well, and I'm at a point in my life where if something fits well and I like it and it's comfortable, I'm getting it in every color.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to get buried in George.
You want to get buried in George. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. That's funny. And they're $4 shirts, so if my baby pukes on it, or if I wear it to work and it gets fucked up, or I spill ketchup on them,
no big deal.
Yeah. I throw it away. I throw it in the trash. It's $4.
Yeah, that's how, like, somebody today said to me, they named this brand of clothing, and then somebody then compared it to H&M, and they said, no. H&M is Swedish trash. And I said, it's one of those things that you can buy in Vegas, you can buy a whole outfit, and then you never have to wear it again.
That's right.
The same idea with Walmart, same idea with George.
Yeah. Gotta love George. So anyway, so I had two birds, one stone. I go to the register. All right.
Okay. Okay.
There's a woman in front of me, and they were taking forever. So okay. That plays a part in the rest of the story. But
okay.
The woman doing the register, Asian woman, probably late 30s, early 40s. Okay. I get up to the counter. I put the things that are me personally, I put those on the conveyor, on the belt.
Sure. That's where you go and you're ready to buy something.
Right.
Naturally.
And then I had the things that I was buying for the company in the cart. There were these two big things of water.
Okay. Okay, you know? Right. Yeah.
So she looks at me and I say, so I look at her and I'm like, would you mind if I pay for the stuff in the cart separate from the stuff on the conveyor belt?
Right.
She doesn't say anything to me. Okay.
Like, did she hear you?
She heard me. She definitely heard me.
So she acknowledged you with a dirty look.
Like with just a nothing. She acknowledged me with the absence of words.
So this is the woman in line behind you.
No, this is the woman
that you're
ringing me up.
Ringing me up. Okay.
Late 30s, early 40s, Asian woman.
Okay.
So there's my cue. Now, look, I don't want to toot my own horn, Cody, but I am a great first judge of character. If I meet somebody, I know if you're crazy. I know if you're weird. I know if you're cool. I know if something's up. And at this point in time, I know something's up with this lady. And she doesn't want to talk, which is fine. Okay? I don't want to talk. It's cool. So then I know she doesn't want to talk. So let's try not to talk. Let's do this thing without talking. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know? So she then walks around to ring up the stuff in the cart. Okay? And then she walks back. I make that purchase clean. That's fine. She takes the receipt. She doesn't hand it to me. She puts it on the spinner where all the bags are stored so she can like revolve the spinner. So then I say, okay, that's weird. But you know what? We're in COVID times. Maybe she doesn't want to do any sort of hand-to-hand. Fine.
Sure. Okay.
It's like, okay, whatever. So then we get to my next purchase. She rings it up. And I found a $25 gift card from my cousin from like 10 years ago in my garage. So I'm going to use this thing on my purchase. I see it has a scratch off thing on the back. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll scratch that off. Maybe I need to enter some digits on the little computer thing where I do the chip or swipe, you know? So we get to that total.
Okay.
She doesn't tell me how much it costs, anything. I just know that we're done here and it's time for me to start the paying process, right? So I take the card. There's no chip on it because it's a gift card. It has a barcode, all right? So I swipe it, right? That's right. What you do, right? Yeah. So I swipe it. On my end of the little like hand computer screen,
sure.
I got a spinning wheel, okay?
Like it's loading.
Yeah. After I swiped it.
Okay.
So it's spinning.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, all right, this is an old card, old gift card. Maybe it's not going to go through.
Yeah.
This might be where it falls apart.
Right.
So you understand that those
gift cards don't hold money forever.
Right.
They actually start charging you on the gift card.
And do it they says really?
In the terms, yeah. In the terms and conditions, they'll charge you like X amount after a certain number of days. And then it charges you until it's zero.
Okay.
So just so you know, like that happens. Yeah.
So this thing's spinning on my end. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll stay in here for a little bit, see what's going on. And then she looks at me, puts her hands up, and she says, okay, what are we doing here? In that tone. She says, okay, what are we doing here? And then I was like, I stop. And I was like, I was trying to use this gift card. And I swiped it. And now it's just a spinning wheel. She snatches it from my hand, Cody. Snatches. I'm not embellishing. She snatches it from me. And then she swipes it on her end. And the transaction happens. It goes through. And then I had a balance because the gift card wasn't the full amount. So then I go to my card and I pay the rest. All right. She does it again. Takes the receipt, slaps it down on the spinny thing. No words exchanged. Like the transaction is done. I take the bag. I put it in the cart. And I grab my two receipts off the thing and I say to her strategically, I say, thank you very much. I hope you have a better day. And nothing. No response. Absolutely nothing from this woman. And I say strategically because I implied, I know you're having a bad day and you're being a fucking bitch right now. But who knows? Maybe your dog died yesterday. Maybe you know someone who has COVID. Maybe your boss yelled at you. Maybe someone was being a bitch. Maybe the person in front of me who was taking a long time really set you off, but not my fucking problem, you know? So yeah. I leave. That was my Walmart experience today. Now it was a little troublesome. I was pissed off.
And then you heard as you were driving out of the parking lot, you accidentally hit somebody, didn't you? But see, the story with Pay It Forward, it actually goes both ways.
It really does.
If somebody's good to you or does something good to you, then you'll do something good for somebody else. You've always heard this story, like the Pay It Forward story, right?
Yeah.
It also goes the other way. If somebody's a dick to you, you're going to be a dick to somebody else. And then they're going to be a dick to somebody else. It's like, that's why there's yin and yang. It all works itself out, you know?
Right. And I'm so conscious now of like, you're trying to put some bad energy on me, lady. And I don't want it. I don't want it.
I think this interaction would have been better is if you used those exact words. I think you're trying to put some bad energy on me, lady, and I don't want it.
I don't want any part of it. Like,
you should have
swiped
the gift card. You had a balance, and then before you walked away, you should have said, "I was going to give you the remaining balance on this gift card."
Yeah,
not anymore.
I thought about it more. I just like stewed about it later.
Right.
That's what I do. I process like every fucking alternative.
You run it through your brain over and over and over again. I get it.
At that moment, I wanted to be like, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm a secret shopper for Walmart. I'm from corporate. We're going to need to speak to your supervisor right now." And just like totally like flip my tone on her and be like, "Secret shopper, you're fucked. What's up?"
Right.
But like, who knows? I believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt, especially right now during COVID. But damn, don't want that energy, man.
No, man.
I'm having stress already, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want it.
We want the best energy. We want the energy that really melds people together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And dude, Jenny was making chili tonight and she needed me to get some tomato juice on her way home. So I had to go back to that Walmart. I had to go back tonight. So I went back tonight and I got the tomato juice and a couple other things for the chili. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm doing self-checkout this time. Fuck this. I don't want to see that lady.
It would have been interesting if you seeked her out.
Just try to find her, like how to go.
To see if there was a change.
Yeah.
Because things happen, right?
Or just go back and like fuck with her and be like, "I'm your guardian angel. Everything's going to be okay."
Right, you know? Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
But I went back to the self-checkout. And I go through the checkout. I have a couple things. And it was like, "How many bags do you want?" I picked one bag. So I paid 10 cents for the bag. Okay. I get my receipt. There's no bags around. So I look at the manager of the self-checkout place. And I say, "Excuse me, can I have a bag?" And she's like, "We don't have bags. You can buy a bag for $1.50 or you can buy the smaller bag for $1.29. The like reusable shit.
Right.
And I was like, "Okay, well, you know, I already bought a bag on the machine here. There's absolutely no bag? No bags." And she's like, "Yeah, there's no bags." So now I'm trying to problem solve. I'm like, "All right, fuck. Can I just have a trash can liner out of one of the things?" And she's like, she laughs at me. She's like, "No, we can't do that." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I look over at customer service and I'm like, "Well, I can get a fucking refund for 10 cents. But all the lights are out at customer service." So then I'm like, and now with the last incident at Walmart and with this now, I'm like, I gotta go on principle now. So I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna buy this bag, this $1.50 bag now, because I can't carry all this shit. So let me buy this bag, separate transaction, and I want to get the goddamn 10 cents off my receipt." And I was nice about it. And then she was like, "Well, customer service is closed. You got to come back to get a 10 cent refund, Cody." And I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
What you should have done is you should have went back with the bag you bought.
and return the bag.
Return the bag you bought and then ask for your 10 cents back because you didn't have, they didn't have any bags.
Well,
and then if they ask, well, how do I know you didn't have any bags? Well, because I bought this stupid bag for $1.59, which I know
longer
need.
Dumbass bag.
Yeah.
So then she's like, do you want me to get the manager? And I was like, yeah, at this point. Can you get him? Can you get her? And she's like, okay. So she gets on her horn. I'm sorry, the story is so long, but she gets on her horn and she's like, we got a guy up here. He's very upset. He wants to talk about the bag situation. And then in my head, I'm like, great. Now I'm going to have to wait a long time.
And obviously they had a meeting about these bags.
Yeah.
Because like, she's calling it the bag situation.
The bag situation.
As if everybody in the facility knows about it.
Right.
Like there's no signs outside of Walmart that say bag situation upon
no bag.
Entering.
Right. So now I'm like,
and
great.
And Dan Hill has a history of being an irrational customer.
Exactly. And then now I know when the manager does come, they're going to be ready to fight because she said he's very unhappy. And I'm like waiting. And I know it's fucking 10 cents. I don't really care. But I'm like, this is a principal thing now. We're going down this path.
Dan,
we've got
a principal path. You're a principal man.
Yeah. And then now I'm sitting there stewing. I'm like, where is this manager? Oh my God, this is only 10 cents. Should I just fucking go? And then I'm like, no, Dan, don't go. You already had the problem. Blah, blah, blah. My brain starts going. I'm like, no, fuck this. If they did this, if they do this to 100 people a day, that's what? That's a lot of money. People,
that's a dollar.
That's a dollar.
$365 a year.
If they do it, and Cody, that's me just buying one bag. And no, if they do it to 10 people, it's a dollar. They do it to 100 people, it's $100.
No, it's $10.
No, it's $10. If they do it through 1,000 people, it's $100.
So and you're taking a stand for all those people that accidentally put a bag on there when they didn't realize that there was a bag situation.
Exactly. And how many times are you like, fuck it, it's 10 cents. Fuck it, it's 10 cents. This is a Walmart corporation. They're making money off the goddamn 10 cents. What is it? Like,
They're not making money on the 10 cents. That's a tax.
But then they're selling the fucking $1.50 bags. How many people are then
buying?
That's
where they're making money for sure. Yeah, they're making money on those.
So now they got my 10 cents. Now they got the $1.50 bag. Now I'm like, no, Dan, you're staying. You're staying in this thing. So finally, someone comes around, and I'm like, "Hey, I try to be real nice because now she thinks I'm like the really unhappy guy." And I'm like, "Oh, but first, sorry, Cody, no one was coming, so I called the number on the receipt of the store, so I could like get on the phone and be like, "Hey, can someone come quick or whatever? I'm just trying to get my 10 cents back or whatever." And the woman, I talked to a woman on the phone. She's like, yeah, customer service is closed at 6. And I was, no, at 8. And I was like, it's 6:40. And the thing's black. I need a refund. And then she's like, what kind of refund? And I was like, I bought a bag. You guys don't have bags. I'm trying to get 10 cents back. And she's like, you're trying to get a dime back? And I'm like, bitch, if it was fucking trivial, then don't charge me 10 cents. You're charging 10 cents for bags. Okay?
They're required to by the state, Dan. It's a tax so that people recycle.
But if it's bullshit, then don't even charge it.
Okay.
So finally somebody comes out and I'm like, "Look, I know it's 10 cents. Can I please get the 10 cents?" And I got my 10 cents. And I left. And I was like, fuck this place.
Obviously, Walmart has some issues. I'll give you that. They obviously struggle in the customer service arena. Although, in the end, you did get what you wanted.
I'm a man of principle. And I'm keeping this dime.
That dime.
I am going to frame this dime. This dime represents America. Men and women of principle. Like,
is that what it represents?
It does, because I don't give a fuck about this 10 cents. I really don't. I wanted to just get the 10 cents and then throw it.
So that 10 cents, where did it come from?
The register.
So the guy opened the register and gave you the dime?
No, the manager walked me to the customer service area that was all dark and like processed a refund and cashed me out 10 cents.
That's a hell of a manager.
Yeah. And I was like, look, I'm sorry. I know that it's bullshit, but like, dude, we've learned how to split checks at restaurants since like the 90s. You can't disable the how many bags do you want on the self checkout to say no bags. You can't have a skip option. Nah. Like, this is an easy problem, or you just tell everyone you like, I need a sign that says we don't have bags today. First of all, why don't you have bags today?
Well, you definitely need a sign that says bag situation.
Right. There's a bag situation.
Like, if you know, if it's that big of a deal, it's a bag situation. We need to have a conversation.
And I was also like perplexed because, like I said, this was my second trip. Do you know what I got on my first trip? Bags. I got bags from this place.
Sure.
Just a couple hours ago.
Obviously, the things have gotten a bit juicy.
Something
with the bag situation within two hours.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has anything to do with this poor upset woman that originally checked you out.
Yeah.
Maybe she took all the bags as like a means of retribution to the way Walmart has treated her as an employee. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe she set the warehouse on fire in the back. It was just like, fuck y'all and fuck your bags.
Well, that is probably the most epic bag story I have ever heard.
So that's my life. I mean, we're not doing anything else.
Oh, we really aren't.
We have
succumbed to the idea that our experience in a Walmart getting a bag is worth your time, listeners. And I want you to know it totally is worth your time. Just so you know, it's totally worth your time. Dan,
what's up?
I've got a story that caught my eye. It puts, in a lot of ways, it puts Los Angeles on the map.
Oh, does it?
And in a strange way. So how it plays out is at LAX Airport, we had an infamous situation take place where a TSA agent was accused of tricking a traveler into showing her breasts as she went through security.
Cody, this sounds like a...
So apparently, this guy, he recently entered a plea to a felony count, was sentenced to 60 days in a county jail. And he has to take 52 classes addressing his sexual compulsion and 2 years of probation. I guess how it played out is the woman told investigators that this guy told her that he had to look inside her bra to ensure that she wasn't hiding anything. Had her hold her pants away from her waist for a check, and then said he would take her to a private room for further security screening. And then I guess as she was done and she's like putting her bra on, they were alone in the elevator, and then he told the woman that he could perform the screening there in order to lift her shirt and show her breasts and then look down her pants, she said. And apparently when they were all done, he looked at the woman and he said she was free to go and added that she had nice breasts.
What?
Yeah, this was in LA.
What a creep, dude.
A real creep. A real creep. What's the better way to go about this, Dan?
If you want to see this woman's breasts?
Yeah. I mean, should he have just asked her out?
Probably.
I mean, is it day class A to ask a woman out if you are inspecting her for bombs and such?
Is there a picture of this guy?
No. There's no picture of this guy.
Here's my question.
Okay, let's do it.
I want to preface this with, this is really fucked up, and this is not cool in any way, and it doesn't matter, right? Like anything else.
Absolutely.
But was this man attractive?
I have no idea. He was a TSA agent. He could have been. Some of those guys are real sexy.
How old was he?
I don't know.
Does it say the age?
No, man. It just says he's sexy.
And in no way, shape, or form am I insinuating that if the guy is attractive, that this is cool.
Well, you kind of are. You actually are kind of saying that if the guy is attractive, we can let it pass. But if he's not, it's a problem.
If he's disgusting looking, then this is really
the
gross.
Thing that's interesting about this is he would have had to have done this before. This isn't a one-time thing. He's done this before.
Yeah. Well, he's worked up to this. He's done a version of this several times, and this might have been his Super Bowl right here.
I think you're absolutely right. This was definitely his Super Bowl. This was the moment that defined him. This is his Tom Brady 10th Super Bowl appearance for him.
Yeah. If this was the movie, this was the last section, the final piece.
Right. You're absolutely right. This is the moment that defined this man. And
It's probably worked with like, I need to look at your feet. And then it probably worked with like, I need to feel like your calf on another woman. And then it was probably worked with like, I need to look down, the back of your shirt.
Well, I need to look at your pussy. Let's take a look at your pussy. What are you looking for? Sharp objects, wires, all kinds of different things. You'd this be surprised what people put in their pussy.
this guy's a predator, and he tried to go for it.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Like
it's disgusting.
It's just laziness. It's what a fucking pig.
Yeah, he's a pig. He's a real pig. So nonetheless,
is he gonna do like hard time? He's gonna lose his job,
no.
Of course.
I mean, he's no longer a TSA agent. Like you know, they're not gonna stand for that. Getting like there's a degree of trust that you give these people when they come in. That you give these people when they come in, and you lose all credibility as a security agent when you're asking for a woman to show you her breasts indirectly.
I find it hard to believe that this is still, you're still capable of taking a woman into a private room and demanding these sort of things without a third party.
Like, sure.
Like I don't think you can go to the gynecologist and have a male gynecologist look at you without a nurse in the room. Right?
I don't think that's true. No, I don't think that's true.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Huh.
I mean, my wife will go into a gynecologist's office and there's nobody watching, but mind you, it's a female gynecologist.
Right. But maybe if it was a man.
I don't think so, man.
Let us know, listeners.
I mean, what's the difference of you going in and seeing your general practitioner and you tell your general practitioner, I think I feel a lump. Do you think he invites a nurse in to watch him to make sure he doesn't overly fondle her breasts while he's checking for a cancer lump?
It couldn't hurt, man.
I don't know, man. I think
maybe a first visit. I don't know.
A first visit? What does that mean?
Like if you first go to a gyno for like the first time and it's a man and they're like, okay.
Sure. I guess that's a possibility. Yeah.
Let's just have a third party witness here that nothing wonky's going on.
Maybe something needs to be stated in the room and there's a form. I, Dr. So-and-so, will not touch you in any kind of overly suggestive or sexually explicit means. All of this is for inspection and whatever some other doctor word is there, right?
There will be no diddling.
There will be no diddling. Like he goes through a whole list of descriptive terms.
Yeah.
There will be no diddling, fondling, slapping, tapping, slipping, licking,
But mainly diddling.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. Well, but either I way. Mean, yeah.
TSA, they you got to have, if you're going to take someone away for a cavity search of any kind, yeah. you need a third party. A witness.
A third party diddler.
Covers everyone, unless the third party's in on it too.
Yeah, which is like, who's paying this third party person? The doctor, man. That's why it almost doesn't even matter. The doctor says, you say anything to anybody, I'll have your job. I don't know why your doctor's like a smoker, and like, you know, they call him Dr. Chimney.
But all just security purposes, like if you're a woman TSA agent and you take a man into a room for a cavity search, you probably want a second TSA person in there just to observe, see what's going on. If this guy freaks out on me, can we take him? You know?
Sure.
And then vice versa for the women.
Right.
I gotta search this lady. Am I doing it right? Am I diddling right?
I am a professional observer, and I know whether or not a doctor is properly inspecting you versus diddling you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Travis, that was a diddle. You're going to need to stop right now. This search is over.
I apologize, ma'am. He knew better than to diddle, and I could tell there was a diddle there.
There was seconds of diddling. You're lucky. You're lucky I was here, ma'am. Any further, and there would have been a lot more diddling.
Thanks, doctor. And this guy, I hope they lock him up, except they won't because he's in probation and sexual compulsion. So that
was what did he get anything?
No, they said it was the ruling for what he did was it wasn't anything. They said it was 60. Well, he did. He got 60 days in county jail. And then he has 52 classes addressing sexual compulsion and 2 years of probation. So he goes to a class a week about addressing his sexual compulsion. I wonder what that class is all about. Actually, that's interesting. Let me see something here.
Half the class is just you punching yourself in the dick.
Compulsion? Of course, I spelt compulsion with a C-U-M. Okay, sexual compulsion behavior, sexual compulsion therapy. Treatment, behavior treatment. That's interesting. So I wonder what you have to go through to treat this behavior. And how do you go to a group meeting with all of these people? Aren't these all of these people sexually compulsive? So if you've got women in there, aren't they just as sexually compulsive as men?
Yeah, it seems like prison, where you'll just meet like-minded folks and do worse things.
Right. Wow. Anyway, well, that's what it is, guys. Watch out there when you're in the line at the TSA. Don't show people your breasts, and fellas, keep it in your pants.
Dude, did you ever watch Black Mirror?
Black Mirror, I've seen a couple episodes. I watched the Star Trek one.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's a great episode.
USS
yeah.
Callister? Yeah, yes, that's a badass one.
I watched that. Yeah.
There was an episode, I don't know which season it was, but there was an odd episode where a woman lost her husband early. He had died, and they brought, there was like a service that you could pay for to sort of bring that person back as like someone you could text and like message with.
Okay.
They like, you basically allow this company to come in, scrub that person's emails, any phone conversations, any videos that you have of the person, any home videos that you have of the person, and that generates basically the they pick up patterns, speech patterns, and like things he would call you, that sort of stuff. And it, the more information they gather, the better the bot basically.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. That's AI for you right there.
Yeah. And then like, if you want, you can take it a step further and you can order this sort of like dummy person basically, and they put the bot inside of the person. This was the Black Mirror episode about this thing. But I found an article on Forbes that the headline is Microsoft could bring you back from the dead as a chat bot. And they filed a patent which raises the intriguing possibility of digitally reincarnating people as chat bots. So it's basically the same Black Mirror shit.
Well, like, are you surprised by this at all?
Not really.
Nah, I'm not really surprised by it either. We're so willing to give up information online to self-service. And not just that, it's that idea that even in Google, like, it knows what you've searched for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what you've searched in an odd way can definitely help build a profile of who you are and what motivates you and what you're looking for. And that can help define motivations. And in a lot of ways, it can also help predict what you're going to do next. I mean, that's why Google is so effective at building advertisements and sending them to you in Gmail or even on their little ads. It's meant to grab your attention, and it knows what you're interested in, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, man, I mean, there's...
It says, instead of using the conventional method of training chatbots using conversations and material from a wide sample of users, Microsoft's patent, as spotted by Uber Gizmo, raises the possibility of creating a chatbot from the output of a specific person. The system would use social data, such as images, voice data, social media posts, electronic messages, and written letters to build the profile of the person. And I mean, okay, like, dude, to create us, you just need to take all the Dan and Cody audio and boom.
Boom is right.
We could probably say like every word in the English language at this point with a bot.
Well, I'd like to think that we're that skilled. I doubt it.
I mean, I'm saying, like, based on like samples of our voices, they could manipulate our voices to say whatever right now.
I've been watching some interesting videos about how they do deep fakes.
Yeah.
And they run like these programs that is you compile all of these images of the person you want to overlay. Like, say for example, because the ones I've been watching have been in regards to the Luke Skywalker appearance in the final episode of
Mando,
right?
Spoiler
alert, if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and crawl out from under that rock you're under.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, what they have to do is they try to find high-definition images of Mark Hamill during that time. And the only really high-end images they have are examples from Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So they have to compile all of those images. And then what they do is they take images of the person with like different facial expressions, and then they run it in a computer, and then it takes days for the computer to connect and correlate all of these photos onto the person. And then that's why deep fakes end up looking so great.
This is what it like tracks where the head is.
And it tracks your face to their face. And then it kind of slowly transitions that face into it until when it's completed and they've had enough connections to where it's kind of, this is your face, which now equals this face.
Yeah. I mean, even that what's that app that everyone's Face Swap?
Yeah. Something like that.
The one where you can like put it on like a clip of a music video and creep
me
out.
Yeah, the ones I sent you where I'm always sending me in a female's figure.
Yeah, even that is a little too good these days.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Yeah. Well, and the argument was made in this like YouTube video that I was watching was, is it better to just do a deep fake versus what they've been doing is completely building it and animating it from scratch?
Right. Right.
Or Disney has some of their own technology that they've patented that allows them to build lifelike images.
So what would they do? Just take the actor and do like the mocap dots all over the face and then
Yes, that's what they did with, and then they built it digitally. That's what they think they did. They may have used some reference images to help apply it.
Right.
But they kind of built it digitally. You know, in Rogue One, Tarkin was completely digital.
Right.
And then in, what was it?
Fast and Furious 8?
Yeah, he was completely digital, I think, too. Paul Walker.
Or 7? Was that 7?
7, I think it was 7. Yeah. What do I know? I don't watch the movies. Anyway.
You're gonna.
One day. But yeah, I mean, that's what's going on.
I feel like this specifically is unhealthy to do. It's tempting, but unhealthy.
You're not going to stop it. Somebody's going to do it. You're not going to stop it. I think that's like the crazy thing is one of the most interesting things about humanity, yet I also feel is one of the most detrimental things to humanity, is our degree of curiosity is so great that it overweighs any logical sense of watch where you step.
Yeah.
Humanity's always kind of stumbled forward in progress, and then they have to fix what they've broken. And in a lot of ways, like, that's how we learn, right? Mm-hmm. We don't learn by not breaking things. We learn by breaking things. We learn by failure to such a degree that we say, well, we can't do that again, or there's a better way to do that.
Yeah. I just think the negatives as it pertains to this outweigh any benefits. Like, could you imagine, a terrible situation where you lose a loved one too soon, you didn't get to say goodbye, and then you, like, sure, you play out this fantasy of a chat with them.
Right.
And like, it just seems like a crutch or a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, you know?
I mean, I think it is. There's some level. You're right there. There's some degree of being right there. Absolutely.
It's like talking to Siri, you know? And then what? Then you're just obsessed with hearing this extraordinarily accurate bot talk to you.
Right.
How detrimental is that to your healing process?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that just kind of accept it. Like, there's a part of you in your brain that creates that bubble that it is reality. A good example of that is if the creation is so lifelike and so real, you will have problems disassociating yourself from the idea that it's not real.
Right.
Like, and that's because it's so convincing that you know it's not real, but you're not going to question that it's real because it seems too real. I think that's one of the more interesting pieces about, like, virtual reality, or even not virtual reality, but like augmented reality, where you kind of create elements in the space of the real world. You know, if they get it to the point like Ready Player One or something like that, people will never leave their house again.
Yeah. And how unethical would it be to sell this technology to, like, Vanessa Bryant to, like, talk to Kobe again? Like, it'd just be fucked up.
Is it unethical?
To profit off of...
Well, that's one thing. It's not like they're forcing it to her, though. They're saying, here's this. You have an option to choose it.
Yeah.
Ethics, I don't think there's... I think there's an ethics rule where it's, you know, I think there's... I don't know.
Did you ever see Blade Runner 2049?
I did, yeah.
Would you, like, back to your, like, overlay talk about, like, the facial, what do you call that? Deepfake?
The deepfake stuff.
When he tries to, like, have sex with his, like, AI, basically.
Sure.
And he buys a body, basically, and then, like, there's the light, like, hits overlays on the girl.
Sure.
to spec of like his old girlfriend or whatever it was. It's been a long time since I saw that movie, but
right.
And then she totally changes her look. Right. That shit was crazy.
I mean, you know, I don't think we're getting there. Yeah. I mean, the biggest motivation to move forward AI is or augmented reality or even, you know, virtual reality in some way. It's going to be turning that into like sex is going to move that.
Yes.
Like the minute, you know, sex will move that. Move 100%. That needle. But a lot of that is, you know, I think we are probably 20 years away from like a really realistic type of augmented or virtual reality where we have to like lock ourselves into something.
Yeah. Did you watch that show on Amazon called Upload?
Yeah, I watched that. That's an interesting idea. The interesting part about that is that guy is dead.
He's dead.
Like, but they don't, the transferring of your consciousness is not a real thing. Now, the transferring of, I guess you could make the argument of what's consciousness versus identity. But that's not a real thing, right?
Right.
So, like, even that guy's in that digital world, all that it is the data of that brain is in the digital world. That guy didn't transfer to that digital world. He's dead.
Right.
So what you're seeing is just a digital representation of him. And even if he transfers his information into somebody else's brain, then at that point, the digital information that's in that person is its own individual. And the digital information that was in that world, that digital world, is its own individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to think about that stuff.
Yeah.
It shows that, like, if you're able to do that, what happens is it shows how meaningless identity and self-identity is. Doesn't mean anything. It can be copied and reproduced.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself can be copied and reproduced. And you have no control or say over that. And I think that's scary.
Yeah. But, and then like folks choosing to go into this digital world and live.
Right.
To interact with their dead family members over living their regular life.
Right. And the odd thing about that is like, that's not like even then, if you're in the real world, and you're saying, yeah, transfer me into that world. You're not being transferred. You're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. You're not transferred.
Right.
Like if there was a way to transfer you to where you actually knew you were you into this space, you no longer exist. Like it's such a big, heady thing to think about.
Yeah.
That transferring piece. There's no way to transfer you. In the end, what's going to happen is you will be recreated in some digital format.
Mm-hmm.
Your likes, your preferences, all of that stuff. Your tastes and preferences will be recreated to help identify who you are at that moment in time. And then that's that.
Well, we'll be on, instead of urns, we'll be like hard drives where like, you're like, sure. Oh yeah, that's Daniel. That's yeah, Cody. And then you plug it into your computer and you can just like see it, all of Cody.
Like, sure. It's this weird, like stop in time. It's an echo of you.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's an echo of you. It'll give a sense of who you are at that moment in time and how you would make decisions at that moment in time. You're not changing or growing as a person. I mean, maybe the technology helps create that, but in the end, like your self-identity is gone. I don't know. It's one thing to like freeze your body and then reanimate your body in the future after they found cures because it's still you. But it's another thing to say, okay, take all this data and just transfer that data into this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's great. But the data is still originally on that card.
Yeah.
Even if you like copy and paste, even if you cut and pasted it.
I think the AI too would like the there'd be such a vetting period with the living loved one to where they'd be looking for imperfections and then end up being alienated by like something that you said that they perceive as like, you know, Cody wouldn't have said that, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Dan I think would that's have true. Said that. And then they'd be like, fuck this program. It's bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough.
It's so heady. It's hard to imagine. There's a difference between a copy and a paste and a cut and paste. See, it'd be interesting if they could do it and say, I have my like lifelike body.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do kind of a cut and paste with all of my identity, myself and who I am. And then they put me in the digital world. And then you go back to see that that realistic person of you. And he's just a jello. He's just jello brain, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing left because they've cut and pasted me into something else.
It's too much.
I don't know. It's just, oh, it's so crazy. It's a bizarre thought. Bizarre thought.
It's nuts, man. Well, my friend.
Well, buddy. I mean, that's the week for me. I don't know. Do you have any other interesting thoughts, feelings, and emotions before we end it?
I think we did it, man.
I think we did it. I
Fauci,
feel good about it.
Fauci
that.
Says two masks now, guys.
So wear two masks.
Are we gonna
Cody
do that?
Says two condoms.
What's that?
So wear two. Cody says two condoms. So make sure you guys wear two condoms.
Two condoms. Two masks.
Whether you're having sex or not, just make sure you have two condoms on. Who knows? You might be able to get COVID through your penis.
Yeah, you never know when a TSA agent is gonna.
And layer. It's cold outside. Layer. Wear a shirt and a jacket. Is that so hard?
Los Angeles, king of layer city, basically.
Right now, that's the case for
it's
sure.
All I had three layers today.
Oh, dude, love that dope layer game you got going, Dan Hill.
I did long sleeve shirt, okay. Hoodie,
yeah.
Then
yeah.
puffer vest.
Love
over
this stuff.
Over the hoodie.
Oh shit! What?
It was beautiful,
dude. I love a good layer, man. I like that you're out there representing people with layers.
You got a layer. I'm representing Layer City and principles, men and women of principle.
You're a man. You are a man of principle, and I appreciate you for being so principled.
Go Bucks!
Yeah. Be safe out there, guys. Be careful. We'll talk to you next week where Dan and I are going to review the Super Bowl. Not really. Who cares? Anyway, later.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Ain't nobody played itself down the shit, whoa.